How do we raise kids so they don't need therapy when they're adults? Today, I interview Sadie Ackerman of Finding Home Healing, all about how we heal our own trauma by working with the various parts of ourselves. Spoiler alert, she's my sister and she's absolutely amazing. This is the amazing work that we need, whether we want to conceive, become better parents, or feel better in our lives no matter what season we are in. This is the kind of work that has made all the difference for me along my own healing, fertility, and motherhood journey. Toward the end, Sadie walks us through a specific example with my own daughter where she taught me how to show up differently so that my daughter could potentially have a different experience leading to less dysregulation, and I'm so grateful. It's so, so good, so let's get started. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
True hydration comes from a mix of water and minerals, not water alone. And while we love to discuss the benefits of Redmond Relight powders for you parents in the fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum times of your life, let's not forget about the kids. Redmond has launched their Relight Kids line of electrolyte powders, specifically with kids in mind. The mineral amounts and proportions are lessened to be more appropriate for children or for adults who want or need less sodium intake. They come in three fantastic flavors that my children love: pineapple, pink lemonade, and grape, and contain all the benefits of Redmond's honorable manufacturing and quality control practices. They contain the 60 plus trace minerals in just the salt portion alone, and we know how much metabolic support childhood demands, so support your kiddo in their sports and play recovery, growth, energy production, and more with Relight for Kids. You can use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off at redmond.life. And use the code to also enjoy the other Redmond products like their natural toothpastes, seasoning salts, bentonite clays for baths, and more. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. All right, moms, seriously stop and listen, because this is something you need to have in your diaper bag, at your house, in the car, or basically anywhere that you spend time with your kids. Active Skin Repair is the best natural skin healing product that I have ever found. It's a skin health company that makes non-toxic medical-grade sprays and gels to support skin healing by using something called hypochlorous acid, which mimics the natural healing response of the body that the body uses itself. It's very intelligent. It's an absolute game changer for a huge variety of skin ailments, including burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, rashes, stings, eczema, acne, and more. You know I love a product that works with our physiology, and this is definitely that. I use it on my baby, my dog, my acne-prone skin. It is such a smart product, and I think that you will love it. So head to activeskinrepair.com or the link in the show notes and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off of your order. So again, use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off, and I think you're going to love it.
Sadie Ackerman is a mental health consultant specializing in integrative psychology and emotional well-being to help highly sensitive women navigate their sensitivities, family and romantic relationships, career, trauma, and mood disorders. She is especially gifted at teaching others emotional intelligence, communication, and healthy relationship tools. She has a podcast called Finding Home Healing and works with clients one-on-one and is absolutely brilliant. She also happens to be my sister, who I love dearly, and I'm so excited to be able to share her wisdom and knowledge with the world. She is a repeat guest, so if you like what she has to say, check out episodes 44 and 45, all about trying to conceive during the holidays. Sadie, thank you so much for being here.
You're so welcome. Talking
to you. Yeah, obviously, you're my sister and you're incredible. You're such a brilliant person. So for people who don't know you, can you just tell a little bit about what you do? I know your backstory as to why you got into the work that you do is really long, and you have your own podcast if people want to like hear about that. So you don't have to go into your whole story, but can you just talk a little bit about what you do, like why I'm even interviewing you?
Yes, of course. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I do have a podcast called Finding Home Healing. And like you said, my long story, I like to go into the depths. I'm an HSP, a highly sensitive person. So I love the details. But that path of mine, my life, led me to what I do now, which is what I like to call a special form of multidimensional healing that guides people to a whole healed relationship with themselves. And that is really the source of how we can have a wonderful life, how we can thrive, how we can succeed, how we can feel loved and fulfilled and find our passion and excitement in life and actually follow it. If we are not good with ourselves and we're in conflict with ourselves, that'll probably show up in conflict with others or in difficulty in life or being unfulfilled, unsatisfied in our work or career. And so people come to me in lots of different ways, shapes, and forms of some type of struggle, or they have a block in their life, or they're struggling, suffering, something's happening in their relationship, in their career life, in their family life. It doesn't necessarily matter what type of pain, if you will, they're going through. I even have clients or I work with people like with infertility, like some of your patients that you've sent me. And, you know, I work with people all over the world. I have people in other countries in Europe and Saudi Arabia, Australia, all across the US. It doesn't matter who the person is per se. I help them discover the next level to unlock and how to love themselves. And I know that that sounds so basic. So it's like, oh, I need to love myself. But like, this is really, really, really deep work, because we're not only going into how you talk to yourself, how you treat yourself, but why you're talking to yourself that way, why you're treating yourself that way, and what's going on in your internal system, in your energy field, in your soul, in your spirit, in your consciousness, in your own psychology, and how that's all progressing to form your reality in current time.
Wow, that was great. Way to wrap that up in a pretty little package.
Yeah, it's a little bit like sometimes I do have a habit of like going very esoteric and like,
yeah. So break that down. Can you give me like a simple example in real life, maybe an example of a client you've worked with, or you can even use me as an example because I've worked with you, of what someone might be coming to you for, and just a little snippet of the kind of work that you would do? Because I've mentioned on this podcast how I've done so much trauma healing and so much of my own inner work, and how I feel like that's a big part of the journey, no matter what you're struggling with, whether it's infertility or you're dealing with issues with motherhood or just your own relationship, you know, with people in your family, maybe siblings or parents or your own partner or whatever. Like, can you give an example of why someone would be like, oh, that's something that I should do? And then like, that's what you're doing inside of those sessions, just in a micro way. I know it could be a whole podcast in of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to pinpoint because there's so many different examples coming to mind, but, most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, somebody will recognize like, I don't feel well. I don't feel well emotionally. I don't feel well mentally. I don't feel well physically. Sometimes the physical manifestation of illness or of some block presents itself. So like with an infertility client or with a mother who is having a really hard time with her kids, maybe postpartum depression or something like that. One of my clients, she had a baby and her husband wanted to have another baby. She did not. And there was a lot of trauma involved in her having the first baby. And so there was not only issues for her in wanting to say no to her husband, that then created conflict in their relationship because he wanted something she didn't. They weren't necessarily on the same page, not understanding it. And so she came to me and was like, I need help. And she's an amazing, amazing soul and also has parts within her that stuff her emotions down. She's not really allowed in her internal system to feel her feelings and to let those be acknowledged, to let them be felt. And as we've worked together, we've found that there's a lot that's happened in her past with a past relationship, in her childhood, part of the ways that she was raised, how she was parented, how her siblings interacted with her. Like, there's a lot of complexity and dynamics to why there's certain parts of her that are showing up currently now in this time that are preventing her from wanting to have another baby, which she does, but it's, you know, it's just this like intense pull inside and it just doesn't feel peaceful, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, they come to me and they're like, I just don't feel good. And it's really hard for them to articulate. It's hard for them to explain, but there's something off. There's something blocking them. And, you know, with my work with her, we've been going back to those really early years and helping the parts of her unburden, help them release their extreme emotions, their extreme beliefs, and come back to the present moment, connecting to a safe place and really connecting to the self, capital S, that is all of these qualities of calm, compassionate, clear, curious, courageous, confident, connected, playful, patient, persistent, all those things. Those qualities are what your self is. That is your deepest core of who you are. And so with her, like, she's been learning how to connect to that self, which, again, a lot of people, when they come to me, they don't necessarily know what that is in them. They don't even know that it's in there because some of their parts, if you will, have hijacked them, which I can get into explaining what that means.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But it's sometimes difficult for us to connect with that self because there's lots of stuff going on inside of us that steers us away from being calm and confident, courageous, connected, compassionate, clear, curious, all these fun things.
All the C words.
Yeah, all the C words. 8 C words and 5 P words. So as she's been healing, there's been so much more peace inside of her, like not this inner chaos or there's like so much to talk about and get into, but her patterns are that she tries to stay busy. She has this like type A personality where she has to have everything perfect. She cannot tolerate chaos in her external environment, which is something you and I relate on too. Like there's a need for control, and there's a deep inner feeling like she's not comfortable and she's not safe in her space. And so we've been working on helping that part of her that is a little bit, I would just call it burdened, that wants her to do these patterns. The type A type of personality wants to control things, feels like she's always on and she's always busy, and then she gets burned out and stressed out and she can't find that peace and calm inside of her. But it's crazy because as we go and unburden these younger parts of her that have been through XYZ, it doesn't have to be something crazy extreme. Like, we're not talking about, you know, the most intense thing that sometimes happens to people. Like, I've worked with people with severe abuse, severe trauma, like sexual trauma, physical abuse, emotional neglect to the nth degree. But it doesn't even have to be something that's that huge and that humongous to be creating a really big problem in your life today. And I am not one to pathologize. I'm not one to judge or compare, like, oh yeah, this person's been through this amount and that makes them, you know, more messed up or less messed up or whatever. It's not about that. It's just about listening to that person and the internal system that is them and helping it find a connection to that self and unburdening those parts.
So, I love that. That's, and I feel like what you mentioned with the perfectionistic type A, I feel like I see that a lot in practice, and I see that a lot in patients who are trying to get pregnant and can't. I think because they also burn themselves out. So that's, I've mentioned that a couple times on the podcast, you know, when people are saying, well, what can I do to get pregnant, or what can I do to feel better postpartum, or whatever it is, like wherever you are, what season you're in, a lot of times it's your lifestyle that is maybe blocking certain things. But then the question is, but why is your lifestyle like that? You know, why do you overbook yourself? Why do you fill your schedule? Why are you a perfectionist? And that's where, when I talk about the healing that I've done, is healing with you and people like you, where we get to the underlying factors and there's layers. It's like an onion, like Shrek. Yeah. There's so many layers and there's these parts. So can you speak a little bit about what you keep saying, internal systems and parts, and what that means for someone who's like, what are you talking about?
Totally. So there's a form of therapy that has evolved over the last 50 years-ish, that was rooted in a therapy that came before. And I don't need to get all technical, but Gestalt therapy is the therapy that came from before. It's a type of psychoanalysis that understands that our unconscious mind is programmed through our timeline, like how we're born and we grow up and as an infant and then toddler, da 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 da. And that along that timeline, there's significant events that happen. And also in adding another layer to the Gestalt therapy, another therapy called internal family systems evolved from that, from the creator Richard C. Schwartz. He I don't need to get into the history of him either. I have to keep myself from going so deep. Anyway, there's this concept of the multiplicity of mind. I love origin stories and I love getting so detailed.
That's why you're a good healer and therapist. I know you say you're not a healer because like people do the healing, but you're so good at guiding people because you are so detail oriented in that way. So it's
yes, I love to get deep. I'm like, let's dig and dig and dig and get deeper. But yes, on that note, actually, I'll do a little side thing here. Even though what I do is healing, I don't call myself a healer because I don't believe I am the healer. I believe I'm the guide to healing. That healing comes through a channel that is in me and in the person I'm working with, that their self, capital S, and all of their connections up to their source within is the healing power and is the healing magic. I'm just helping it become expressed and become here and become aware.
Yes. So I love that. That's so great.
So there's this concept of the multiplicity of mind, that we are not just one soul consciousness. We are not just one personality. We are not just one being, technically, even though we are one being. It gets a little confusing, but we have many parts of us, and those parts get developed throughout time, and they take on extreme roles. And that's what separates us from the self. Like I was saying, the self is those 8 C's and the 5 P's. I can list them again, but you can also just Google, what are the 8 C's and 5 P's of IFS? Those parts of us become extreme in their roles. And there's a couple different categories in this therapy of IFS that I like to use as like a foundation of understanding how and who we are and how we're formed the way that we are and how we operate in day-to-day life in reality. So there's parts of us that are called protectors, and there's parts of us that are called exiles. Protector parts are ones that are literally trying to protect us. And they're the ones that either come in when we're triggered and when we're needing to like put out the fire. In IFS, they're called firefighters, the ones that are reactive, that try to help calm you down after you've been triggered or after you've been activated. Your nervous system's lit up and it's flaring and it's like, oh my God, I can't even think straight. The firefighter protectors are the ones that try to calm you down. So an example of that would be like an addict, like the addictive behavior that protector would want to do, that's like a firefighter. Or the veg out one that like just wants to sit in front of the TV and numb out and just watch Netflix for hours. That's mm-hmm. another firefighter protector example. Or the one that, you know, gets so activated and wants to go on a run and then just runs itself to death. Like that's actually a protector part of you that's wanting to do that.
Yeah.
Another example of a protector that's different than a firefighter is what in IFS they call a manager. Managers are protectors that are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That would be like the perfectionist one, the type A one, the one that is like the people pleaser, or the one that actually in a lot of ways is like the self-critic. Like it's mm-hmm. on all the time. It just never goes away. It doesn't matter whether you're activated or triggered or upset. It doesn't matter whether you think that you're feeling calm. That protector that is the manager is trying to manage your experience and keep things at bay, keep you safe in any way it possibly can. The reason why those protectors exist is because you have exiles. Exiles are the wounded inner child parts of you that existed long ago that were hurt in some way. They had extreme fear, terror, overwhelm, pain, worthlessness, that type of thing. And those parts of us are so painful. They hold so much pain that it's almost too intense for our nervous system, our bodies, our minds, that the protectors have to come online to help those ones out. But because those ones aren't able to fully express and be seen and heard and felt and helped out at that time, they get exiled, which is why they're called exiles. They're these really innocent, sadly wounded little parts that like get locked in a dungeon down below, deep inside of our unconscious mind and in our bodies. And they're often the ones that flare up our physical bodies. Like when I work with people with infertility, they've got exiles that are stored in their reproductive organs a lot of times. And so we have to go find those versions of them that were so hurt and damaged back in the day and get the permission from the protector parts of them that are trying to keep them at bay. Because heaven forbid, if those exiled parts that are wounded and carry all this pain were to come out, that would overwhelm the system completely. It would just not be okay. So when we think about and talk about these parts of ourselves and this multiplicity of mind, there's a lot going on and it's very complex, and your system can't handle too much energy. And so these energies, if you will, or what we're calling parts, they get buried inside. And so if people out there that are listening have ever heard of like emotion code or tapping or some of these other therapies that I also deeply, deeply love and I sometimes use, those are really intended to help find these exiled parts that come through as energy that are stuck inside with these extreme emotions, negative emotions, and extreme beliefs. And we want to help unburden them, bring that exile out of its dungeon, out of its dark hole where it's holding all of that pain, help it see the light of self, the compassion and the curiosity of self and how what it contains, and let those protectors relax and take on a new role. Because the protector parts of you don't realize or know that they're doing those things and that they're actually hurtful. Yeah. And in psychology, I don't need to get too, you know, into the technicality, but secondary gain is a really big part of behaviors that you're doing that you don't want to be doing. Because, like, I'll give you an example. Some people that smoke, they don't like that they smoke. They wish that they could quit and they try to quit over and over again, but they don't realize yet that they're getting what's called secondary gain from it. They're getting a positive benefit from it. They're getting the hormonal releases of relaxing. They're getting a break from work. They're getting, you know, that addictive high that takes all the pain away, right? And that's not the only thing that's involved in more of like addictive behaviors, but it's an aspect of it. So
yeah,
does that help?
Yeah, that was great. I feel like you, I mean, I know this work, but I feel like I was trying to put myself in the mindset of someone who didn't. And I feel like you explained that really eloquently. I know for me, I've done so much work with you specifically and a couple other people, but it's interesting that you mentioned about our exiles going into a dungeon, because I know the first time I did work around my sexual trauma and painful sex stuff, I remember I did this like deep meditation with a woman, and she guided me somehow probably toward this exile that you're talking about, because it was me at 18, literally in a dungeon, like naked, wet, cold, so scared. It was like the saddest thing. Like, I even want to tear up now thinking about it. And like a lot of the work that I did with her was like going to her and holding her and telling her she's okay, and like putting a big warm blanket around her, and like eventually walking her up. I like can remember it so clearly, like walking her up these like wet, dark, damp steps out into this like beautiful meadow. And it was one of the most profound healings I've ever had. And since then, you know, I think this was before you were working with clients. But since then, you know, I've worked with you, and just the other day we released, an energy that was like preventing me from succeeding on another level. And I just think it is really fascinating. And, you know, people who are aware of inner child work and stuff, it's crazy how complex the mind is, and how when we have a traumatic thing, you know, for me, it was at 18 because that's when my trauma happened. So like my exile was stuck at 18. But for some people, it's when they're little kids, you know, or at any time. And I just think that's amazing. And this is what I talk about when it's like you have to do the work and go deep and get into that. It's so much more than just talk therapy. It's like, tell me how you feel. Yeah. A lot of it is you don't know, because or even how you feel isn't you. Like you said, it's other masks or protectors and stuff. And I think the work that you're doing is so brilliant. I love it. It's so effective. I know you've helped so many people. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. There's literally like a bajillion little entrances that I could go with what you just said. But one thing that's really important to note too is that when you have certain wounds, then like you said, that you wear masks. You can think of these parts of yourselves in all different ways. Like you don't have to use this verbiage of exiles and protectors. You can also use wounds and masks. Like that's another, there's a woman, I think her name's Lise Bourbeau. She has a really amazing book, How to Heal Five Wounds, something to become your true self. But she's really brilliant. And there's just this concept around when we get wounded, we might feel rejected, abandoned, humiliated, betrayed, or having injustice. Like those are the big five of what I find in a lot of people, but that's not the extent of it. There's lots of wounds that exist. And those protector parts, like I was saying, or the masks, they come up in ways that we're not even aware of them coming up. And so like you're saying, doing talk therapy, most often, 99% of the time, talk therapy is just talking through one of your protectors. Yeah. It doesn't actually get to anything deeper than that.
Right.
And it's so fascinating because when I work with people, when I just kind of ask them in the beginning of our session, like, how are things going? Like, what's your update? What's going on? You know, they'll tell me different things. And then when I actually go inside with them, it's like a totally different world. And it's like we've, you know, stepped into this different dimension where everything they just said was almost obsolete and it didn't even matter. And like their internal system will guide me or lead me to like this totally other different direction, but that somehow wrapped back around to what they were saying in the beginning that maybe didn't make sense or wasn't like in coherence with their system. So there was another thing you said that I say that I do a form of multidimensional healing because like your trapped exile that was down in the dungeon, this might be a little bit hard for people to like wrap their heads around or accept, but that's actually happening in a different dimensional layer of reality. And I don't want to get too like esoteric, but this world is so fascinating. And for whatever reason, God's given me a gift that I'm like very intuitive and psychic to these parts. And I can see them, I can feel them because they exist at a different layer of reality in a different dimension. And they impact us because they're actually there. Even though people have a hard time sometimes connecting with their imagination and believing that this is happening and some of their other like reality realistic parts are like, this isn't real. Like, what am I even doing? Like, I was working with Mike, your husband, and he's like, I feel like I'm just making stuff up. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Keep doing that. It's like your imagination is a gateway to this other dimensional field where most people that aren't either introduced to this or taught this or just have it as a natural gift, they don't go there. And that's where like real deep healing happens. And that's why we say like when we go deep, I've had people be like, what do you mean when you go deep? Like, what does that even mean? You know, yeah. It's like confusing, but something happens when you close your eyes and you tune inside and you go within and all of these things start coming up. It's a totally different world than the external world. And I have a funny joke, not a joke, but every time I bring somebody back out from being inside, I'm like, how are your travels? I wasn't inside there. So yeah,
amazing.
There's just a lot there. But yeah, to your point, I know the reality of having parts of you stuck in those dimensions is really, really tragic. And like we've talked about, it can happen in childhood, it can happen in teenage years, it can happen in adulthood, it can happen even when you know this work. Like I have been in this work for a long time and I'm still finding more exiles and I'm still uncovering even more protectors that I have and other parts of me that are wounded that I didn't know and continuing to work on healing all of those things.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, same. I feel like it's a lifelong journey. And gosh, it's like anytime I talk to you, I'm thinking of patients. I'm like, oh, I need to send this patient to you. And like, she needs to talk to you. Can you speak before we talk about how we're raising our kiddos? Can you just speak a little bit about us as women? Like, let's say you are on the trying to conceive journey and struggling with that. We've kind of talked on it a little bit, but do you find that women who have infertility or even men maybe, or hormonal imbalances or issues just in the body physically, do you feel like those are coming from some of these parts or mental, emotional things that are just manifesting physically? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I don't like to become too dogmatic about anything. I like to follow data and evidence and what's put in front of me. And even though I am a huge learner for life, I love just learning everything. I do have a strong belief that a lot of our physical experiences and the physical reality is related to, not always caused by, but correlated with what's going on in the mental emotional reality. Now, I'll help people kind of, I did this for a client once to help her understand, like, think about dimensions or realities as like little discs. And there's a disc of like a spiritual level that's floating up above. And right below that is the disc of the mental level. And right below that is the disc of the emotional level. And right below that is the disc of the physical level. Inside in there, maybe between the mental and spiritual level, there's a disc for energetic, but the energetic is kind of wrapped around all of them. And we as beings on this planet in this physical form exist in all of those different discs. Like we have connections to all of those different dimensions and realities. And when we get an injury of some sort, that injury can happen at any level of these discs. If you have a spiritual injury, that's going to affect all the other levels. If you have a physical injury, that's also going to extend up and affect all the other levels. So I'm not of the mind that like every single injury happens in the mental emotional disc.
I love that. That's like so great. Cause I agree. It's like, you can't, I feel like when you're in work long enough and work with enough people and do enough of your own healing, you realize that nothing is ever black and white. It just isn't. And anyone who is that way is in my mind so clear that like you have so much more to experience, as do I always and always probably will. But yeah, it's like, I love how you explain that, because the people who are like, it's always physical, or the people who are, it's always mental, emotional, or it's always spiritual. It's like, well, it's like, it could be all of it. And it is probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like to say that like the injury that happens at that disc or at that level of your beingness, that's where a significant amount of like the pain or the alarm bells are going to go off, but it's going to affect all the other levels, right? When you break your arm, that's an injury on the physical level. And that injury extends all the way up to mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual, because when you break your arm, you better bet your dollar that it's going to be hard mentally to deal with that. You're going to be totally taken out of your life, your habit, your routine. You're not going to be able to be the same type of person, have the same type of activity. And that's going to affect your energy. It's going to affect how you think about yourself. It's going to affect your feelings. And on the same token, like, when people, if they want to go learn more about my story, like I was deeply, deeply impacted by mold and by having different bacteria and viruses and everything that basically spun up to this huge illness and pinnacle where I was paralyzed. I couldn't talk. I couldn't walk. And that was horrible. And even though like mentally, emotionally, energetically, spiritually, that like there were a lot of things happening on those discs of my reality, the physical level of my body being bombarded by toxins was an injury at the physical level.
Yeah.
And so I used to kind of be of the mind that, you know, everything is mental, emotional, and like everything filters there. But I've since gained a lot of wisdom and have understood this concept that injuries happen on different levels, and that injury will radiate to all the other different levels. And true healing has to involve all of the levels.
All the levels, yeah. And now a word from our sponsor. Did you know that while 97% of women in the US take a prenatal supplement, over 95% are still deficient in key nutrients? That's why I love and recommend the Needed Prenatal Multi. Unlike most prenatals that offer the bare minimum, Needed goes above and beyond, using nutrient forms and dosages that truly support mama and baby to thrive. I've actually worked with the Needed team for years to help create this formula, and we spent over 3 years researching, collaborating with practitioners, and ensuring every nutrient choice was intentional. And now we have data to back it up. In an IRB-approved clinical study, women who took Needed's prenatal multi had significantly higher blood levels of essential nutrients like vitamin D, B6, riboflavin, B12, K2, and selenium, compared to women taking a standard prenatal. Even more powerful, only the Needed prenatal group reached sufficient levels of vitamin D, which supports a healthy immune system, bone strength, blood pressure regulation, and more. Women on the standard prenatal actually had vitamin D and B6 levels below sufficiency. This study reinforces what we've known for a long time, that real nourishment matters. Nutrient sufficiency supports fertility, a healthy pregnancy, and baby's development. Needed isn't just aiming for adequacy, they're proving what's possible. No matter where you are in your fertility or motherhood journey, the Needed Prenatal Multi is the one I recommend. Learn more about nutrient depletion and how to support your body and baby at thisisneeded.com/thrive and save 20% off your first order with code HEALTHYMOTHER. Again, visit thisisneeded.com/thrive and save 20% with code HEALTHYMOTHER. Okay, now back to the show.
And you have like to address it.
that's true holistic healing. I know that word is thrown around a lot and it's kind of like, ooh, whatever, but it's like, that's what it means. It's like all the levels. And even so, yours, you know, being more physical, mold exposure, you know, bacteria, chronic illness type things on the physical affecting all the layers for me and my sexual trauma and painful intercourse, the condition that I've experienced, it's like physically you're fine. There's literally nothing going on physically. Everything looks normal. And I actually just talked to another woman the other day who has a similar experience. And it's like, yeah, she's been checked up by the doctor. Everything looks fine physically because there's something that injury happened more for me, probably mental, emotional, spiritual, and some physical for sure. But it has manifested and continued to manifest in the physical space right. as pain. But like the root of it is like all of these mental, emotional stuff, like this exiled person, you know, my exile that was in the dungeon and all of these things. And so, yeah, it's like different levels come in different layers. And the conventional medical model often is just looking at the physical. And that's why sometimes they miss the mark. But if you're only in psychology, let's say, then you're also missing the mark. You kind of need all of it.
Right. Which is why I am such a blessed person to be in the position that I've been in, because I've had you in my life as a huge influence. That's very much with naturopathic medicine and looking at the body and like testing our blood and our urine and like doing very physical things. And that helped expose me to know that, yes, like there are injuries that can happen at the physical level. And it's taken me a very long time to like figure all this out. And there's still a lot more for me.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like it's great.
And comprehend. But yeah, it is true. And for me, like I've had a lot of trauma that affected my spiritual, energetic, mental, emotional, that filtered down into my body too. So some of the chronic illness that I've had is not purely physical. There have been injuries in these other areas as well. And the thing that's, I think, not everybody fully recognizes that like it can, the radiance of an injury can go up or down. You can have a spiritual injury. Like let's say for those of you who believe in past lives, that's a very interesting topic that I just could do a whole episode on because there's a possibility that our experience of past lives is actually what I'm calling lost souls that are stuck in our bodies that we need to release, which I would also love to talk about, even though it's a little esoteric.
You know, you're such a fascinating person because you're a Christian, you believe in past lives or all these things, or you can hold all of it together instead of being like, only this or only that. Like you are, I feel like you're the modern, I tell you this all the time, you're a modern day philosopher. And back in the day, philosophers got to just sit around and think. Yeah. And now in this world, you actually have to like make a living and survive. But really what you're destined for is that. And I feel like you have had so many crazy experiences for the life that you've lived so far, but your mind is just amazing. And you can think about things in such a beautiful way and tie all of these extreme different things together and like weave them into like this beautiful explanation of how it just all is together. I don't know. I just love you do it.
Thank you. You're making me blush. Yeah. That means so much to me. I do. I spend a majority of my time thinking. I just sit around and I'm like, I'm pondering the origins of the universe and what's the meaning of life. And yeah, I love to read and everything. So a lot of what I've learned and come to has been my life experience and my training, and just because I'm so inquisitive. I'm such a why person. I love to ask why. And so when people come to me like, why is this? Why is that? And I'm like, well, let me think about it and check in, and because I can channel too. So I'm like, let's see what higher truth says. And you know, anyway, whatever.
Anyway, so you're back to potentially like reincarnation, lost souls, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we were talking about like physical injuries, like on the spiritual level, because people out there might be wondering, like, what does an injury on a spiritual level mean? And whether if I went into the topic of like lost souls, that might be a little bit too detailed. But, you know, I was just working with a woman. I'm trying to remember. We went back to a past life she had this memory, which I have also had these memories, and I can give a story anecdotally of my experience too, where she was having a lot of uncertainty in her current life. And we figured out that like I worked with some of her parts. We did, you know, some healing and unburdening, and there was still a tie to this like fear of uncertainty in a really deep way. That sounds like a very surface level thing, but it was still like really, really impacting her. And I could feel intuitively like there's a deeper root to this. So I asked her my question, like, did this happen before, during, or after birth? And we ended up going before, many, many past lives ago. She had memories and this energy stuck in her of being a slave, being traded, being trapped and not knowing what her future was, having all this uncertainty. And then in that uncertainty, she was very abused. She had a lot of pain in that experience. And so whether you're out there listening to this and you're like, that's not real, like, I'm going to discount that, that doesn't make any sense, it doesn't matter. I always tell people, like, it doesn't matter if this is actually real to you or not. What's happening is, or what matters is that it's there's an effect, mm-hmm. right? So we go back to this, we help that, whether it's a lost soul, whether it's a fragment of her soul from her oversoul or whatever it is, we help that part release up and go up to the healing realms and, mm-hmm. you know, be with the angels and the guides mm-hmm. that are going to help it heal. She comes back to now and she's like, oh my God, like I feel 10 times different. Like mm-hmm. that's what I'm focused on is the effect, like yeah. how it actually helps. I don't care what the story is. I don't care what you believe, if that's real or not real. It's like, I want it to work. Yeah. So however anybody needs to think about it, or, you know, whether they want to believe that there's injuries that happen on the spiritual level, doesn't matter. What matters is that something works and there's a productive effect at mm-hmm. the end of the day, and it helps you feel better, right? Because that's what people are looking for. So
right. Oh, that's so cool. You're so cool. I mean, I'm like, I have so many people to send you, but your schedule is full. But this is great. So can we talk a little bit now about our own kids? So if anyone listening, you might not have kids yet, or you might have kids, because I know this came up. It's so funny because you are a very sensitive person. And I am your sister. Obviously, I've watched you your whole life. And this transformation that we've both gone through on our own healing journeys and our own professional journeys of, you know, us healing us personally and then us becoming professionals in our own fields. And looking back, I've learned so many things now that I'm just like, oh, I wish that my parents, who are lovely, amazing people, but they just didn't know how to parent you in the way that you needed to be parented. And I didn't know as a child, you know, as a sibling,
how to parent you. No, I know.
That's so my own.
Yeah. There's so many poor souls out there that are just so parentified. And it's like, that's not appropriate. It's not fair. You shouldn't totally. Have had to be in the parental role.
Yeah. And then not that I like was, you know, it was more just like, I think you struggled a lot that it pushed me into that role of like, well, I need to be responsible because you're really struggling.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just all sorts of things that come up with our own stuff. But now with my own kids, I would say I've been told by intuitive people many times, and I believe this really strongly, that our infertility journey wasn't always necessarily an accident. And it's really hard when people are going through infertility to hear that. But yeah. for me, it really made it – it helped it make sense. It at least brought peace to me that my journey helped carve me and my husband into the people that we needed to be for our kids.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have struggle getting pregnant, if I haven't had struggle with all of the stuff that I've struggled with, that I wouldn't have done the healing. I wouldn't have gone deep, like you're saying. I wouldn't have unlocked some of these things. And there's still always more healing to be had. I am definitely not – even close, you know, to having all of my stuff unraveled. But
me neither.
I do feel like I am at a place that is much different than I would have been, you know, 15 years ago if I had gotten pregnant, you know, with Mike early on. And I've been told that like my kids need us to be a certain way. And at first that made me nervous. I'm like, okay, are they going to be like these super high need kids that, you know, have crazy challenges and difficulties? And so far that hasn't been the case, but they are highly sensitive, like you and me, but more like you, at least Avia. Like, she seems to be a little bit more emotional, and, you know, who knows how Cade will be, my son. But I just want to be able to parent them in a way where I don't that hopefully they won't need as much therapy, you know, when they're older and they won't have to unravel as much. There's no way we can parent perfectly. And I don't think that's the point. I think that we create environments for healing on purpose. Like I just said, like we wouldn't want anyone to go through life perfectly and not have anything to work on. I think that's not the point of life.
Right.
But maybe how we could move forward parenting in a way where it doesn't create as much trauma on every level, if that makes sense.
100%. Yes. Like 1000%. I can't agree more. And for those of you out there who don't know exactly what high sensitivity is or what a highly sensitive person is, there's lots of resources out there for you to learn. If you yourself, or if you have family members, friends, partners, children that are a little bit more reactive to emotions, that get overstimulated easily, that are really sensitive to bright lights, loud noises, coarse fabrics, that are kind of picky eaters outside of the norm, because like kids are already kind of picky because their brain's still trying to develop. Or if they're, you know, really sensitive to very subtle stimuli, more often than not, the chances are they're probably on a spectrum of being highly sensitive, which is not autistic. There's a very big difference there. Yes. Having a highly sensitive child is not having an autistic child. It's totally, totally different. And there's so much debate online. I'm like, why? Why is there a debate about this? They're not the same thing.
No, it is not the same. Like my daughter is highly sensitive. She is not even close to autistic. She, like the criteria for autism is so completely different. She's like, you know, brilliant, but she's just sensitive and emotional. You know, we're at a restaurant. She says, it's so loud in here, mommy. Like, and she covers her ears and she's really sensitive to emotion of people. If someone's like slightly off, she knows, like an animal. She's like, you know, just there. And she can feel like the energies of other people if something's off. And, you know, she's sensitive. And they, you know, highly sensitive people can also be sensitive on the physical realm. Just like you had these discs, you know, people can be sensitive on the spiritual. So maybe they're more intuitive. Maybe they're more connected to the other side. You know, maybe they get visited from grandma once in a while, you know, which is like you are that way. You can be sensitive on the mental, emotional, you know, maybe someone says something, you know, you're silly looking. And then like that really hurts, you know, like I'm so sensitive to those words, to that mental, or on the emotional, you know, if I tell my daughter, which is partly toddler, but this is how she is. If I tell her, like, you can't do that thing. I mean, she literally comes to me. She says, mommy, that really hurts my feelings. Like, that really hurts my feelings. That's what she says when I, like, tell her not to, like, climb on the table, you know? She's not, like, doing it in, like, a manipulative way. She's, like, really hurt. It, like, really hurts her.
Yeah.
On this, like, emotional level. And then physically, sometimes they're more sensitive to literal physical things like toxins, like foods, like light or sound. And so I love your disc analogy. I just kind of threw that out there for people thinking about, am I highly sensitive or is my kid highly sensitive?
Right. And also to put a little bit of an additional thing in there, I kind of skipped over the energetic disc because that's unclear sometimes. But when I say energetic disc, injuries that happen on that level are from things like Wi-Fi and 5G and like radio waves and things that are still here in like the quote unquote physical world, but they're not a mental thing. Yeah, you can't grab them. They're not in a mental, emotional thing. It's an energy thing. Like these waves that really deeply impact us, and sensitive people, I mean, all people, but sensitive people especially, can have really intense injuries on the energetic level from all of their electronics, their Wi-Fis, the, you know, even like solar blasts, you know, people that are really into astrology. I love astrology. Like you said, I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I don't do that professionally, but I just love all these different things. You know, solar flares can really impact you. Mercury in retrograde can really impact you. That's all energetic. So I just kind of wanted to put that in there. But it is true. And even if people don't have highly sensitive kids or members of their family or in their community or whatever, 20% of people are like more highly sensitive. So chances are you probably are going to interact with one or have one in your family or your circle in some way, shape, or form. And it is really important to recognize that they have different needs. It's a totally different world. And so when we start blending these worlds of like, oh, highly sensitive people and higher sensitivity, which also I want to caveat that like being having an autistic child, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's not that there's anybody that's better or worse, good or bad. It's just that there's different categories, if you will. I don't necessarily love labels. I'm not a pathologizing type of person, or it's not how I practice either. I don't believe in pathology technically in that sense, which is, again, probably another podcast episode. But my brain is like so crazy. I'm like, what are all these different things? With highly sensitive people and children, it is very important to recognize that they are different in their nervous system, in the way their brain processes things. And so to help them out, like you're saying earlier, to prevent them from having to see somebody like me later in their life, it's important as parents to be receptive and be compassionate and be in self, self, capital S, all those 8C qualities and 5P qualities. And that's why it's so valuable as a parent to do your own inner work, because that helps you become a better parent. Like you were saying earlier, you had to go on this journey to be a good parent for these children. And I do believe that parents, even though you're not going to be perfect, and that's absolutely allowable for you to not be perfect, all humans are fallible, it is your responsibility and duty, if you are a parent, to be the best version of you that you can be. And if you're not being that, to take responsibility for the ways in which you're not and do your work that you need to do to get into self, so that yourself is the one parenting and interacting with your children and being the model for your children. Like, I think that people more nowadays are starting to understand that as parents, you are the model for your children. You are the attachment for your child. And, you know, this, the attachment styles and all of that has become really popular, and I like it, but I'm also like, it doesn't go as deep as it probably needs to, but it is true that children need that secure attachment. And so when you're parenting with your protectors, or your child is triggering your exile, and then you're reacting to it, that's not going to help anybody. And if anything, you're just going to pass along the legacy burden from your genealogy onto your children, and then they're going to have the burden of it and have to deal with it. And I've been finding that a lot more souls that are coming into this planet are kind of the pattern interrupts. Like, you and I are definitely pattern interrupts. I've come across like so many people, almost everybody that is drawn to me are the pattern interrupts for these legacy burdens, cultural burdens, individual burdens. And when I say burdens, again, I'm referring to negative emotions, extreme beliefs, darker energies. And so it's important as parents to do work, be in self, lead and parent through yourself, not through your protectors and not through your exiles. And like when Avia's climbing up and feeling like her feelings are hurt, not just discrediting that and ignoring it and being like, you know,
Get over it.
Like, stop being so. I can't even tell you how much I was told as a kid, you're too sensitive, you're overreacting, you're too much. And even though that doesn't seem hurtful on the surface level to a sensitive person, it crushes their soul. And to be told that you're too much of something, that your natural beingness is not okay, it literally leads down the path of, I don't even want to exist anymore. And that leads to the path of even suicide. Like, it gets pretty intense really fast. So I don't say that to scare people or to, you know, make them afraid of saying the wrong thing, because that's a protector that would come up of like, oh my God, like, I can't say the wrong thing. I can't do this, that, or the other. It comes more naturally when you're in self, when you're in those qualities of calm, compassionate, courageous, confident, all those things. Yeah. So does that?
Yeah, I love that. And so let's like, because I know we could talk forever. So let's wrap up with an example of, I love giving practical advice and practical examples so someone can wrap their head around it.
Yeah.
This happened recently with my daughter Avia when we were at my parents' house. And like I said, it's not like we're perfect. I'm not a perfect parent. I make mistakes all the time. I'm constantly learning. I mean, there are days, even just the last week, where I'm like, I'm a terrible mom. Like, this is probably a protector of myself or an exile being like, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And in my mind, I'm like, I need to go read like 10 parenting books, because what am I doing? Like, what am I doing wrong that she is acting like this or having this experience or whatever? And I have to have grace for myself too. But I'm always in the pursuit of trying to figure it out. And so with her, she's 3.5.
which let me just caveat really quick before you go on this story.
Yeah.
If somebody's in that situation that you were just in, feeling those ways, that's when it's super important for you to go inside and be like, okay, I've noticed that I have deviated from my qualities of self. Why am I doing that? What part of me is coming up that's feeling like a failure as a mother, that doesn't know what she's doing, that has all this doubt, that feels like I need to go learn, and I'm not good enough, and you know, I'm all these different things.
Yeah.
Because being in those states is not helpful. However, those parts of you need compassion. The mm-hmm. parts of you that feel afraid or that are doubtful or that are questioning, like, it's important for you and self, who is compassionate, to bring acceptance and welcoming to those parts of you and let them be okay and just allow them to relax and be like, look, self, who is very calm and who is very confident and knows my internal instincts are the strongest as a mother, to let those, you know, bleed, then you would go forward in those qualities and then it would just happen naturally. So that's a perfect example of, like, as a parent, when you start getting flustered and all your parts are hijacking you or you're not living through the qualities of self, then come back to yourself, to your internal world. Recognize that your daughter is your daughter. Yes, as a parent, you are influencing her environment and you are her model and all these things. She's also her own being. Like, you have mm-hmm. to remember and understand, like, she has her own things going on. And the best thing that you can do as a parent is to be in your own self.
Capital S. That. Yeah, that's so great. It's like putting the power back in that and not feeling powerless, which is so good. And plays a big role with toddlers where there's like power struggle or, like, you know, that's what people talk about it being. And it's more just like learning how to
diffuse. When you diffuse the power struggle and you don't feed into it, then it goes away. And I'm not, I know that I'm not an actual parent to humans yet, but I parent a lot of adults' inner children. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's the same thing. Like, being a full-time real life human mother is definitely different. Mm-hmm. And there are just some little ways of being that hopefully as parents you can learn to adopt that can make that parenting journey so much easier.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so I'll paint the picture. We are, and we'll talk about the discs. I love this. It's coming full circle of the discs of the different things. So we're at my parents' house. They have a lovely home in Colorado, and they had just built on because the house was kind of smaller. And so they built on an addition so that we would have some rooms to stay in when we came to visit. And it was brand new, just built. So lots of toxins. In the sense of toxins, like new paint, new vinyl floor, new, you know, stain, new mattresses, like all the toxins that I talk about, you know, trying to avoid because they impact people, especially sensitive people, aka I'm very sensitive on the physical realm. So we're staying in a place with lots of toxins. Mike's gone. He's on a trip, a business trip. So she has some instability in that regard. She's used to us both being around almost 24/7. We're in a new place. We had just been on a 2-day road trip. She has a new baby brother. Like, that's already like a new transition. And we are now co-sleeping all together in the same bed because I have to be with the baby, but I also have to be with her because she can't sleep alone right now and Mike's gone. And our eating patterns are different. You know, blood sugar is a really big factor in toddler tantrums, in my experience. And a lot of people don't even know about blood sugar, but them not eating well enough. And so she was just having a lot of experiences. And it was a very interesting time for you and me because we love our parents. I love my parents. I think that they are amazing and no one's perfect. And it's just funny. And I've seen memes and reels about this on Instagram of like millennial parents versus the baby boomer parents and how they would like handle different things, you know, and like the baby boomer parents are like, you know, just tell them to be quiet and like, you know, like they're being
ignore them.
Yeah, ignore them or whatever. Like there's just so many things, but just watching my parents were very sweet and like, They were going off of our cues, but I could see where they wanted to step in and how they would have stepped in when we were kids in that experience. And you and I have talked about this. I'm also not the gentle parenting model where I'm just like, anything they do is fine and they just have free reign and there's no boundaries and there's nothing. And it's like, you know, they're painting all over the ceiling and like pushing laptops off the floor. Like I've seen kids like that and that is not what I do either. But how do we find this intersection of, okay, how do we assess what's really going on? Where is her reactivity coming from? Which disc is it coming from? Mm-hmm. And how do I, as a parent, you were like guiding me through this. It was so great. You were like my coach, like in real life, guiding me through how to be with her, because it was like a flashback of like, this is little Sadie, you know,
yes.
But it's little Avia. And it's like, how can we do it different this time around? And can you just speak to that and kind of what your experience was and how you guided me? Because it was so great.
Yeah. Well, first I'll say it was really triggering for me at first, because I'm like, okay, Sadie, this is okay. You're going to be fine. I think that there were two times that the first time I actually had to remove myself from the room. I wasn't able to be in my own self. I wasn't regulated enough. I obviously am just like you. I'm still doing all my own healing, and there's just even more for me to do. And even with my level of mastery and expertise that I've come to, sometimes I still falter. And like the first time that it was occurring, I'm like, I can't, I had to step away. So that was important for me. And it's important for people to realize too, that like, if something is too much for you, you have to put on your own oxygen mask first.
Yes.
And that's something that I had to remind myself of. Like, I can't step in here when I'm not in my own self. I'm going to make things worse. So I decided to remove myself. Then the next time that it happened, I was like, okay, I've processed my experience that Avia is like a manifestation of me and my younger self. And we're in this like weird, crazy, like
time warp
that like I'm seeing her literally as a physical expression of me as a little kid, a little girl that, you know, didn't necessarily get the support and hear the things and receive the things that I maybe needed at that time, not due to my parents' fault. I also adore them, love them so much. It's hard when we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's really cool that whoever's listening to this and has made it this far, thank you, because this is really, really important, helpful information. So when I was experiencing Avia, like be really, really reactive, and she was so attached to you and so like dysregulated.
Yeah, she was like crying and screaming and like, mommy, no, like don't leave. And I mean, I don't even remember what she was doing. It was very weird for her though.
Yeah. And there were a couple of different instances that I'm going to speak to because they were important interjects. So the first one that I'll speak to is when I believe it was in the morning, we woke up and she was so attached to you and just like so distraught. And instead of just being annoyed with her, because I could tell that obviously any person who is feeling that like neediness would probably get frustrated and annoyed and be like, leave me alone, like go do your own thing, like get away from me, like I have had it. Especially if you as the parent are, you know, sleep deprived, and because I know you were sleep deprived, you weren't getting any sleep, you had, you know, Cade waking you up, and then Avia was also waking up, and all the toxins were affecting you too. And so like there's mm-hmm. grace for you with all your discs and all the injuries that you were experiencing too. So I'm not saying that with every case you have to be a perfect parent. That's a really, really important thing to take away. But so I was recognizing that, and I was like, okay, as long as I have your permission to like step in and help out, which I asked, then let's try something different here. So I sat down with Avia and I just tried to ask her not to reason with her logic, but I've sat my body down next to her and I looked in her eyes and I was just present with her, and I let her know energetically through my mind, which you can do this, just say it in your mind and with your inner, like your presence, like, I'm here with you. I'm here to listen to you. What's going on? Why are you reacting this way? And there are specific questions that you can ask once your child is old enough to be able to respond. That's helpful to get to talk to them. But if they can't, if they're not old enough to respond, then your physical touch to help calm their nervous system first off is most important. So putting your hand on their chest, like in their heart area, and then just breathing in your own body and allowing them to breathe in their own body. If you have like an infant that's maybe having reactivity, touching their head, cupping your hands over their face, or getting skin to skin, that's immediately going to regulate their nervous system. You cannot do any good when a nervous system is dysregulated.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember that. No good comes from further dysregulation. So when you're up in arms, or when you're overreactive or emotional, or they are, the first line of action that you need to do is to not say anything and just calm the nervous system. So whatever you need to do, again, hand over the heart or hold them. Like I know that with Avia, sometimes you're like, do you need a hug?
Yeah, and anytime she's like being what a classic person would say is like naughty or a tantrum, or she's like having a reaction. Mike and I both, we just say, do you need a hug? And then she goes, yeah. And then she comes in and we just hug.
Yeah. Just the physical touch alone is enough to send the signals for oxytocin to release, for even sometimes dopamine, for norepinephrine to like stop shooting and squirting out of the brain. Like the stress hormones just stop, and immediately the body and the nervous system say, oh, okay, I'm safe. I'm okay. And that immediately disarms the reactivity. When a child is having a reactive event and you feed the reactive event with your reaction or with telling them to stop or stop crying, or, you know, you're being too much, like this is naughty behavior, like go sit in your room. When you punish the reactivity, that then creates a spiral of horrible things happening in their own mind. You won't see it. It's invisible. This is like invisible injury that happens at the mental emotional level. So to prevent that invisible injury from happening, calm the nervous system immediately. Once they're calm and they are of an age that you can actually speak to them with, you know, calm language, then you can ask them like, what's going on? What's happening for you? I'm here with you. And let them know, reassure them that you're not going to hurt them. This is something that I do with people's inner child. I have to reassure them, like, we're not going to hurt you. We're not going to punish you. I'm just here to listen. I'm here with lots of compassion. And I teach people's self to do this with their own inner children too, right? Mm-hmm. Because that compassionate presence energy is the most powerful to help them feel more safe and be able to be more vulnerable. Then right. When you can start asking them, like, what's been going on? Like, what's causing this feeling inside of you? They may or may not tell you. If they do, great. Just keep letting them know, like, I hear you. I get that. Like, that must be really hard. Validate. Mm-hmm. Don't let them know that what they're doing is okay, but the emotion, like the reason why they're having the emotions is okay. So in this example with Avia, the first instance that I'm referring to is she had an experience where you guys were actually sleeping in different rooms. Cade was in a different room and you two were in the same bed, and you had to get up in the middle of the night and go tend to Cade, which in your mind is totally innocent. Like, I didn't do anything. I just had to go tend to Cade. But in her experience, she was distraught and she didn't know where you went. She was in this new place. She was like terrified. And when I asked her more about it, she was like telling me that it was really scary that mommy wasn't there when she woke up. And I let her know, like, I totally get that. That would be really scary. I'm so mm-hmm. sorry that you had to go through that. And it didn't take much. Once I just finally validated and poked that fear that she had, then she was like totally fine the rest of the day. And she mm-hmm. was not needing you to be around. She wasn't so needy. She went to doing her creative arts. Like, it was that simple pointing out of what it was that was scary for her. And not invalidating it and just being like, yeah, I get that that's really scary. You don't have to solve anything. You don't have to mm-hmm. like overly apologize or feel guilty about it, because those are other exile or protectors in you that would come up. It's just, oh my gosh, I see how that would be really scary. And I don't ever want that to happen to you again. Mm-hmm. Right? That type of thing. So that's the first mm-hmm. instance of calming the nervous system, just reasoning and finding out what's really going on and why they're feeling those ways.
Yeah, I love that.
And again, that's a specific age, probably 2.5 to 3 years old and up, depending on their development, that you can reason with them. If they're lower in age than that and they can't reason, then calming the nervous system, letting them know that you're just there and you're present, you're not going to hurt them, not going to punish them, that's most important. The second instance that's a specific example was we were in the living room, and this was one of the ones where she was like really crying and having a big experience. And I could tell that there was a lot of activation from everybody. Mom mm-hmm. and dad were activated. You were activated. And so I came to you and I was like, hey, like, come back to self. I know you're activated, but come back here. Mm-hmm. And then you were able to help her do the nervous system calming. And you asked her, like, sweetie, can you put your hand on your heart and just take a deep breath right now? with love. Like, you have to get yourself regulated and keep practicing holding your container, your frame, so that then you can lead them like, sweetie, put your hand over your heart. Just take a couple deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And she did. It was so sweet and so cute. And she's like this little sweet, innocent thing. And then, you know, we had figured out that I think that she hadn't eaten. She needed some mm-hmm. protein, which the point of blood sugar regulation is huge. Like,
huge.
Really, really, really important.
Yeah, I think my dad had made her pancakes that morning, which is totally fine. That's my dad's love language. I love it. He used to make us pancakes. I don't know if she either hadn't eaten yet or she'd had something like pancakes without protein, which will drop blood sugar, you know, and just cause all sorts of stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. And then with the combination of being exposed to the VOCs from all the new materials, like there was just, I could feel intuitively and instinctively that there was a lot more happening for her than just being an emotional toddler that, mm-hmm. you know, was throwing a tantrum. It's like she was dysregulated. And in that moment, she just needed to breathe, to be present, to know that we love her. We're not going to hurt her or punish her. Because the first time when I had to leave, there were some things that were happening that was really, really dysregulating for me, where it was like everybody was dysregulated, myself included. And, you know, there were things being said like, stop crying and like, you can't do this. This is not good behavior or whatever. And so there was just a lot of those protector parts that were coming up. And mm-hmm. this experience that I'm referring to was like a redemption of that mm-hmm. and a reconditioning of recognizing that when a toddler is emotional, it's just like a baby. A baby cries when it needs something. It's not just crying because it wants to.
Yeah.
That's just not a thing. A baby, an infant cries because it's hungry, it's cold, it needs attention. Like there's something that it's doing with crying to tell you it needs something. Toddlers are literally the exact same way. All people, until protectors start coming online, are the exact same way. They're reacting because they need something. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it's invisible, like with blood sugar. If you're not knowing that your child is needing support with blood sugar, like try that out. Give them something that's protein or fat and see if that helps. Or, you know, if there are toxins that maybe you need to go down a rabbit hole and test or something, like that's probably impacting them. Mm-hmm. So the moral of the story is that children and parenting, the reactivity is not something to keep building. Mm-hmm. You can prevent a child from needing to see somebody like me later on down the road. If yeah. you yourself do your work to stay in self, help out all of your parts, protectors, exiles, and the like, and stay in self as much as possible, recognize that when they're throwing a tantrum, it doesn't mean that that behavior is okay. I am not condoning that, you know, being disrespectful or throwing a fit is okay behavior, but just recognize that there's something going on deeper under the mm-hmm. surface that you're probably not seeing as to what's causing it. And yeah. as a parent, it is your responsibility to investigate and to give them what they need. So that's the whole moral.
Yay. Oh my God. That was so good. I know we could talk forever. I'm like, I feel like we should have a whole other episode. I will, maybe in my new membership that I'm building, I'll have you come and do a bunch of series there. I love the practicality and like the example, because I think for sometimes people are like, but what do we do? Yeah. So that was so great. And I know we've already taken a lot of your time. Thank you so much. Can you, as a wrap up, just kind of let people know how they can get connected with you and learn more from you or work with you or whatever, all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. So Finding Home Healing, that's a website, that's a podcast, that's social media on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. I don't really like social media, I'll be honest. It's really hard for me to be on there. So I'm very intermittent. And if you want to work with me, you can go to findinghomehealing.com, schedule an intro consult. We can have a chat, see what's going on for you. If you feel vibey with me and like we're a good fit, we can start working together, see how that goes. You can learn more about me at the podcast. That's on everything, Spotify, YouTube, Apple, all the things. So just Finding Home Healing. That's amazing. Where you can find me for anything.
Yay. Thank you, Sadie. Thank you for being here. You're such a wealth of knowledge. I'm going to talk to you offline about what I should do about Avia not eating her dinner.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
You're the best. Thank you so much for having me and for all of your words of affirmation. It lights my heart up. It makes me feel so happy. Thank you.
Of course.
Thanks, okay. Everybody, for tuning in and listening. And I hope that all this information has been helpful and supportive to you and that there'll be more coming.
Yes. Perfect. Okay.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.